Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We are here with Eerie Paranormal is going to be the easiest way to say this. I know you've got a whole initial there, Bill, that will let you explain a little bit. But the easiest route for me not to mess it up with pronunciation is Eerie Paranormal with Bill Cook. Bill Cook is an investigator. He's going to sit down and talk to us in a little bit more detail today. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks.
So let's just get started, I guess. Tell me what got you into the paranormal.
I guess it started as I was a child. I was always interested in different things that were either horror movies or things like that. I've had a couple experiences in my childhood that led me to want to pursue it further and try to find the truth.
That's awesome. I know that all of us start on a personal journey, I think, when we get into the paranormal originally, whether it be an experience or whether we grew up with it. It piques that curiosity, if that makes more sense than anything else. So it kind of sticks us on that road. How early on did you decide that you wanted a paranormal investigation team?
Well, I had joined a team, and I was with another team for 4 or 5 years, and then I just decided to go off on my own and start my own group. And you know, you got a little more freedom when you do it yourself.
Yeah, when you're in control of things, you do have a little bit more freedom than being with groups or being a part of a television show or being a part of a documentary. There's always that structure of events that have to happen when you're working with other teams that you can create on your own, which gives you the freedom of doing what you want a lot of times.
Right.
I can certainly understand that a little bit. So tell us a little bit about the locations you've been to and your style of investigation, what you like doing.
Well, I mean, we've done some fairly large places, and really, I personally like to do just private residence. You know, people call you up and they're having issues and they're scared or they don't know what's going on. And I like to go and help them out and give them some peace of mind and let them know what's actually happening.
And when you're doing residential locations, this is something that I talk to young investigators about all the time. There's a big difference between that and commercial locations. A lot of ins and outs you have to consider, including the family themselves and so forth. So let's talk about that a little bit more. When you go into a residential location, how do you assess the situation and make determinations on, okay, well, we need to look into this in a little bit more detail?
Well, basically, we start off with, you know, just talking with the client over the phone and finding out what their issues are. We have a checklist that we go through because sometimes, the client that's calling in, might just be having just regular issues, you know, banging pipes in their walls or an electrical issue that's causing them to feel like they're having paranormal activity, and it's not at all. So once we, eliminate everything else, then we'll go in and do a pre-investigation and kind of see what's, you know, if we feel that it's worth our time to do a full-blown investigation, we'll go in and set up and try to record and capture and investigate and everything before we waste our time, you know, going just right into an investigation.
Well, that makes perfect sense. You got to sit down with the family. You got to kind of look at things. You've got to consider their aspects because you don't want to just do a full blown overreactive situation on a family that's scared. And a lot of times that's what happens. You know, they just don't know what's going on.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly true. I think with a lot of the TV shows, people get, intimidated when they hear a knock in the wall and it's, you know, a house settling or a creaky floor or something, you know.
Yeah, And that happens a lot. I've noticed in my years, and tagging along with a lot of teams and doing the investigation thing for a short period in time, I spent a lot of my time telling your stories and learning from the investigators rather than conducting an investigation team, though I had one myself for a few number of years. I just thought it was more important to learn and tag along with everybody else. I mean, you can collect so much information off of each individual team, and somebody always does something a little different than somebody else, so it's a consistent learning base.
Right. That's true.
But, I mean, residential is a tricky thing. I think that a lot of people going in, if you go in too quickly, there's an issue. If you don't go in quickly enough, you might get stale because you're used to commercial locations. And listeners, just so that you know, a lot of times when you're going into commercial locations, they're great to go to. They're fun to go to. They're a great meeting place, but they've been done so many times that it wears off quick.
Right. Yeah. Well, I look at it, it's kind of like a zoo. You know, you go to see the animals, and the animals don't always look so happy. So if you're always trying to entice a spirit to talk to you, then, you know, it's, they get bored with you too. They get aggravated too. They'll go hide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably, if you think about it, they might even feel like it's a zoo. Like they're sitting behind this little looking mm-hmm. glass, and you've got people coming in all the time just to sit there and stare at you and ask you stupid
right.
questions.
Right. Well, that's, like I said, there's the reason I got into this is just to help people, you know, because I know I have kids and I don't want them to be scared of things. And if you can come into a place and give parents a peace of mind that, you know, hey, this isn't anything that's going to hurt you or harm you, you know, basically a spirit is somebody trying to live their life out of their body. So, you know, in my experiences, I haven't come across too many demonic or crazy instances. You know, it's more or less just people living their life, like I said, out of their body.
Well, that's something I think television has overblown, to be honest with you. And don't get me wrong, I always say this every time. I don't diss television shows. I don't diss the people that produce them. I think they're wonderful for entertainment. And the people that produce a lot of the shows that we watch work very, very hard on them. They deserve our respect. But,
right.
You know, a part of that entertainment is over-enthusing on that evil side, I guess you could say, or that bad side of things. And
right.
The reality is most investigators like yourself say the same thing. Hey, look, in most of my experiences, or virtually all of my experiences, I haven't mm-hmm. really found anything negative. There is that one or two things that you may run across in your lifetime.
Right.
And yeah, they can be scary, but it's not the regular norm that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
but I have done the larger locations, and I enjoy going to really scary places and trying to investigate. But like you said, if they've been, you know, you get thousands of people go through there a year just to investigate, it does get stale. You know, we've investigated, the Buffalo Central Terminal, which is a phenomenal place to investigate. I've been up to the Iron Island Museum, which is another interesting place, and even over to the Madison Seminary over there in Ohio. And we've enjoyed all of them. And you do get some evidence when you're lucky enough to, but I like to get an EVP in somebody's house of somebody's name or some information that I can give to the family, you know, and it's a rewarding experience when you're able to do that. And I'm not psychic. I can't talk to dead people. I can catch them on my digital recorder or sometimes on video, but we have a psychic medium that works in our group, and she's phenomenal. She can do things and tell us things that happen. You know, and it ties it all together, and you're able to tell this homeowner, you know, this information, and it puts it all together. The puzzle comes together and it makes sense for them.
Talking briefly about the difference between commercial and residential and some of the things that are unique, as well as some of the things that are kind of overblown a little bit. Let's get into the detail a little bit though on the differences in some of the things you like to use, and how they apply. And we'll jump back into the psychic medium thing here in a little while, but I just want to kind of get into your thoughts on what type of equipment you enjoy the most, why you use that equipment, and what you're comfortable with as a team.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so much equipment to use. I almost feel that just the personal experiences and a digital recorder is the best, because if you hear something and you catch it on recorder, you've got your personal experience that you can tie to actual evidence, and it just makes it that much more credible. But really, anything that we do in the paranormal field is so scrutinized that people don't believe you. Because I go into an investigation automatically thinking the place isn't haunted. And I'm sitting here right now and I don't believe in ghosts. I know ghosts exist because of what I've seen and what I've caught as far as evidence. But I don't want to go in thinking this place is haunted to start off, because I want to rule out everything else and then gather the evidence and be able to, you know, present it and show it like this is what happened. But no matter what you do, people are always going to say, I don't believe it.
Yeah, well, the skeptic community is kind of a unique community. And part of that, I think, advanced when we got into social media and we got into Facebook and so forth. Because if you throw an image up, and I always tell everybody this, you can't determine evidence based off of one image, one video, or one audio clip, because you're not there. To experience it. So the more information that you get off the situation, the more you can assess the situation. If I see one or two images, well, sure, I could debunk those, but does that mean you didn't get any audio? Does that mean that the third and fourth camera somewhere else didn't collect anything? You know what I'm saying? It's hard to determine a full evidence based off of one or two images that somebody has slapped up. So, you know, people have to keep that in mind. And I know the skeptic community is a very harsh community sometimes, especially when you get into Facebook and you get into social media settings. They've always been harsh. I mean, shoot, I've been doing this for almost 23 years, and I remember when I started, good luck trying to go into any college university and start talking about ghosts. You'd get laughed out and called a charlatan.
Right.
You know, these days it's a little different. Science has opened up a little bit. More college professors and psychologists are attuned, and in fact, I was just having this conversation with a psych major that's actually got a professor, and both of them agreed today that you know, they believe that there's something else out there that can't be explained. I think 15 years ago, you wouldn't have got that same statement from most of them.
Right.
So when you're doing EVP recordings, listeners, there's a little bit of a way that we search for EVP in the paranormal field. I haven't covered that much on Paranormal Truth and Reality because most of my investigators are professionals. But let's take a minute to break that down a little bit. What type of EVPs do you look for?
Well, you get a lot of EVPs, more than you really think, but I throw out most of them unless it's a class A EVP, something that you can clearly hear without modifying it. I don't want to have to change or, you know, raise the volume on anything. I want it to just be pure as I recorded it. Because once you start to doctor it and change it, you can make it sound something completely different than what it actually was. Uh-huh. So, you know, sometimes you get very clear ones that you can understand what they say. Sometimes, you know, people think that it says one thing or the other, but as long as it's clear enough that I can understand it to what I hear it as, that's what I go with. But a lot of them I do throw out. I might let the client or let our team listen to it and see what they think, but you know, if people ask me to produce the evidence, I only want to give them the best that I can give them.
Yeah, I like to actually, when I'm working with EVP, and I did this for a number of years behind the scenes for television shows and a lot of different non-television shows and investigators, I like to use a voice recognition pattern program. A VC pattern program, when you play it back, if you think you've heard something, a lot of times if it can pick it up, then you know you've got something. Because a lot of times the more sophisticated the program, the more it'll tell you if it's garble.
Right.
as opposed to adjusting it. Like you said, when you slow something down, you've changed the audio frequency. You can ruin it. Now, you can increase the pitch level and decrease the pitch level a little bit to try to clarify the audio. But when you do that, you also have problems with reducing or removing sound, which can also distort the image and cause a lot of situations to go on where you think you hear something. So it's best to kind of have it as a solid recording when you're reviewing it. And if you got to play it back 1,000 times to try to figure it out and run it through a voice recognition program to try to figure it out, then great. At least you got your answer.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to, if you change a few things on there, you can almost make it sound or say something that you want it to say, or not that you want it to say, but it sounds completely different. So I like to just take them, you know, raw as I can and you know, use that as a class A EVP, because anything else is just, I've got one EVP that I really like to play for people. I have no idea what this gentleman is saying, but me and another fellow investigator were in the room alone, and somebody else's voice comes in and says something, and I don't know what it is, but it's so clear that it sounded like he was standing right on top of me. It was just crazy. So, but it's always interesting when you know, cause you're not expecting that as you're sitting in a room in the dark and talking to the air. And then you listen to the evidence, and then all of a sudden this comes through, you know, I mean, it's an exciting moment. And then you think also like, wow, somebody else was there with me.
Yeah. It is a very interesting situation when, you know, you capture something like that and, well, logically it shouldn't be there. It makes no sense.
Right.
You know, I've had several fairly clear ones throughout the years that have just made me fascinated with electronic voice phenomenon. It can also be quite scary when you do it under certain situations. You know, Faraday cage it and still get your answers when nothing should be there. And the answers tell you things that you should know, which happened to a friend of mine that has worked with ITC and EVP for years. And that's kind of a startling moment when you realize, look, I can do this anywhere, and these things are still here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you can, that's like the TV shows show you, you know, you got to do it at night and everything else, but you can do it any time of the day and get the same results. You know, I mean, it seems like it's easier at night because with everything dark and everything, your senses are more heightened and you're able to pick up on a lot more than with the hustle and bustle of the day. You know, a car drives by and it can mess up an EVP or make you think there's an EVP that's there.
Yeah, I've actually seen that happen a couple of times, and then you hear a voice or you hear a noise, and you're like, hey, look, I've got something, and then it turns out, nope, it's the automobile, or it's the TV next door, or somebody's got a radio on outside, or there's a dozen different parameters right. That can interfere with electronic voice phenomenon, which is amazing, actually. And, you know, that in itself bring a lot of skeptics to it. I'm from an audio industry background myself, so I'm not a big one on ITC where most people are, because I can explain a lot of the situations, though I can't honestly say I've seen a few I can't explain. You know, EVP is something that's just, it's there. I have no idea why, but it's there.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know sometimes how, you know, you set everything up for an EVP session and you try to make it perfect, like, and explain, you know, that we're trying to record your voice, you know, this device can possibly record you, and you get nothing. And then there's sometimes you're just setting up and somebody says something in a conversation as you're deciding on where you're going to put your cameras or where what equipment you're going to use, or, you know, who wants to be in this room to investigate, and sometimes you just get a voice say something, you know, and it's definitely interesting when that happens.
That's actually something that I teach young investigators from the start when I'm talking to them, is that's perhaps one of your biggest pieces of equipment that's important, you should run that recorder from the moment you walk into the room. If you're setting up, no matter what you're doing, just hit record and let that thing record, because you'd be surprised what you can get when you have no idea you got it at all. And that might be the only evidence you get the whole night.
Yeah. And a lot of times it is. When you're not even planning for it, you get it. And like I said, it all ties in again, you know, later on. If you find all the information from the homeowner, what's going on, and sometimes you find out that it was a past relative, or you even might get a name of a previous owner or something, you know, that ties it all back to the resident.
So how many people do you currently have on your team?
Right now, we used to have a lot more, and I found that the more people you have, it just causes more contamination. Right now, we've currently got 4 members. We have some subs that we can call in, and I know other paranormal teams that we can always collaborate together and do investigations as well if we feel that we need more members. But I like a closer team, and that way, you know, we all know what each other's thinking, and we can try to work together better that way. And it makes investigations go much smoother.
Well, that makes sense. You got to have
more work. It puts more work.
It is a lot of work.
Puts more work onto us because, you know, we have so much video and audio and different things to go through. But
well, especially if you have a larger location, I can imagine it. I have a team of 5 and then myself, and nevertheless, even doing if you do something that's not a residence, as an example, and I don't have my people in a residence yet, but they'll be doing residences on their own, I'm sure, somewhere along the line. It's just that they're young, they got to learn. You're doing, let's say, a school with 6 people, and it still takes a good hour and a half to set up. If you've only got 4 people,
right,
that would take forever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. We're talking about doing some different types of working together with some other paranormal groups that we know, to when we do larger locations and stuff. And then it works out nice too, because, you know, if we pick a side or a floor of a building, we can investigate there and they investigate, and then on another floor we can flip-flop, and then, you know, if they've had experiences, then we can tell them what happened while we were investigating, and it's really nice to do that. Plus, it's always good to talk to other groups and figure out what they're doing, you know, that might be different from what we're doing, or they might learn something from us. And it's really nice to investigate that way. You get to meet people and find out their styles and techniques, and you learn from them and they learn from you.
Oh, yeah. No, I absolutely agree. In fact, that's a part of the basis of the documentary we're doing, Generation Truth, is it's a way to show the public what other teams do, how hard you work, the culture involved in it is, as an example, the hard efforts that you put into it, the differences from team to team. You know, I don't think a lot of people, when they jump into this, I mean, it's, I say this all the time, you'll agree, it's not like you have a training manual.
Right.
Or a school you can go to for 2 years and, oh, hey, look, I just graduated, I'm a ghost hunter or an investigator. So you got to kind of work with the other teams and get, there's so much camaraderie sometimes in the paranormal, but when you get past all of that, past all the egos and the camaraderie and the people that want to do another show and so forth, you find a fascinating community of people. And a lot of times the other investigators and other teams, all they want to do is share information and learn from each other.
Right.
And that's the part that I'm enjoying, actually. I the wonderful experience of walking along many, many teams and learning from them. And if you're ever in Ohio, I'd love to film you and tag along with you guys. Or if I'm ever in your area and you're welcome and you want us to come along, I'd love it, because it's a learning experience. You get to learn from another team. You get to learn how they work. You get to learn the differences. And you always learn something new.
Right. Yeah, well, we're pretty close to Ohio. We're trying to work with a team that's over there now. So hopefully we can get over that way, and maybe we can do something.
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually planning And you could keep that in the back of your mind, too. If everything works out right, we're planning a group investigation so that we can get investigators into the Ohio State Reformatory. I do believe that's going to be in August if everything works out right. And, you know, you guys are more than welcome to come and tag along. I think it's going to be running right around $150 or $180 a seat, just so that you know, because Ohio State Reformatory is like all these big locations. It's very expensive. But they provide the food. They provide – we've got the run of the place for the night at that situation. They provide a tour guide to help us along and to show us the areas and the hot spots and everything. So everything's pretty much paid for at that point. So you guys are always welcome to tag along there. Let's talk about go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I appreciate the offer. That's awesome. That's a, we've done paranormal meet and greets right here in Erie. We've done one at a historical church, and we pulled in about 15, 20 different paranormal teams from, like, pretty much a two-hour radius from here, and we called it a paranormal meet and greet, and we pulled everybody together, and we had a discussion before and just talked about different techniques. And then after the meet and greet was over, we were able to investigate the church, and it was very successful just meeting all the different groups and talking with, of course, with this, we only charged $5 for admission. So, and then we donated all that money back to the church. So it was nice though.
Yeah. Well, and I'd like to do more of those. As we're going, there's so many places here in Ohio that are just forgotten pieces. And granted, we have the big places like Ohio State Reformatory, Athens Asylum, you know, the things that are in every state that people like to go to. But sometimes it's those churches, those schools, those old buildings and those small community areas that that are the most important. You know?
Right.
You have a greet. The donations go back into the church or go back into restoring the building and back into the people. And it's a win-win situation.
Right. Yeah. It's still expensive to do those though. I know why these places charge so much to get into them. I mean, we lost money on it, but we still, you know, it was just fun and the experience and networking and talking with people that love doing what we do.
It's a lot of upkeep to keep these buildings going and to keep them, you know, keep electric in them, to keep them from falling down, to pay for the maintenance on them, the heat, the water, all of this stuff. A good friend of mine, Daryl, that has Post Town Elementary School. I can't say he's a good friend, but he's a pretty good friend. We've met several times and he'd be fine with me saying that. He, you know, he's an amazing man, but the upkeep on that place is just so astounding I mean, he has to have events going all the time in order to make sure that he can keep the place open and keep the place going.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're seeing it all the time now. Some of these different locations that people have been investigating for years are getting torn. Years they've been getting torn down now because the maintenance, you know, they can't keep up with them. So they get shut down and demolished.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's a sad thing because some of them are some very amazing places with some wonderful histories in them. And you kind of hate to see them go, you know, especially when you've been to them three or four times.
Right.
Well, listeners, just so that you know, you've been listening to BBS Radio so far. We have Erie Paranormal on, and we're going to be talking some shop with them throughout the show. As Paranormal Truth and Reality, Generation Truth, and Team Rat will be at St. Joseph's tomorrow. St. Joseph's Hospital in Lorain has a paranormal and psychic convention. I do encourage you to stop in. Ohio State Reformatory, several paranormal investigators, a few neat haunted locations, and some unique artists and production companies are going to be there. So make sure if you're in or don't have anything better to do, go to Lorain, Ohio, look up St. Joseph's Paranormal Psychic Convention, and stop in and say hi. We've got some shirts. We've got some t-shirts, got some pins to hand out. I'll have a film schedule for Generation Truth. A little bit of everything there to kind of, you know, talk about us, but there's going to be a lot of other fun things going on. I do believe they even have a little bit of a flashlight tour going on later that might be sold out, but if it's not, make sure that you buy the tickets there. Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown is actually almost finished with season 3's filming. Make sure that you watch season 2 on Amazon. Great bunch of people. We had the opportunity of tagging along with them within the first three or four investigations for about 4 months. So they're very interesting people. They we appreciate their help very, very much. Make sure that if you are listening and you're looking to do a digital radio show or podcast, go with BBS. BBS is one of the largest digital radio stations in the United States of America and one of the oldest and well-founded. So if you're going to go with the best, make sure you go with BBS. Let's jump straight back into a little bit of paranormal talk here. I know I've been talking your leg off, so I'm just going to kind of open it up a little bit for you here and let you kind of tell us a little bit about some of the experiences you've had and what you want to tell the listeners.
All right, that sounds good. Well, first off, let's get the name straight. We're PSPR is our name, and it stands for Pennsylvania Society for Paranormal Research. And you can find us at PSPREerie.com. And we're on Twitter, on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. If you just search PSPREerie, you're going to find us. I just wanted to make sure that everybody can find out where we're at.
Absolutely.
Our experiences, I mean, we've had everything from, you know, where we find a location where we don't really think there's any activity, and we found some that have had tons of activity. It always just varies on when we started this whole the whole show here. The better work that you do in the beginning, you have a better end result. Because the more information you can find about location and the client and the wherever, you know, any information that you can find out about it. And then when we do an investigation and we find out some information through using our tools, we're able to tie it all back together, kind of add, like, you know, some solidity to the whole claims that are happening in a residence or even a business. So we have done, you know, we do both of them. So, I don't know what next. What do you got for me?
Now you have some stuff that you've already put up on YouTube on some of your commercial investigations, if I remember right. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, we're trying to relaunch our YouTube channel right now. We used to do what we called webisodes at every investigation, and we would do two webisodes for every investigation, and it worked out really nice. But we've had some changes in the group and team members, so we're redesigning our YouTube channel and relaunching it right now to where we're going to actually have much better quality videos, and it's just going to, you know, try to show the best evidence that we can at each location that we do.
You should keep the webisode aspect to it. I know I watched, I don't know how many other people watched, but I know I watched many, many times. I thought it was very impressive what you guys were trying to accomplish out there. You know, you did a fairly good job about presenting yourself in a fashion that was very professional. Of course, you didn't give away all the evidence that you ran into, but you did give people a feel for why you were there and what you were doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's again, that's why I like doing the residential, because, you know, somebody's contacting us because they're scared. They don't know what to do. You know, they might have children in the house that are seeing something, and you know, so first thing a parent thinks is, like, you know, there's this scary creature lurking in their closet or underneath their bed, you know. So it's nice to come in and be able to just calm their mind and let them know that it's okay. And in some instances, you know, we're able to either cross this person over or whatever and get them to move on, which we've done in quite a few locations. And, you know, and then at that time, that's when the activity stops. Or if you can just get them to calm down and just, you know, because all they're trying to do is get your attention, or they don't like that you moved your couch or you redid your kitchen, or, you know, they've done something to the house, you know, and So once you get them to calm down and stuff, it just makes it a little bit easier to coexist.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense to me. Of course, residential, I had this discussion with several people. Residential, though you can film the whole thing, you know, it takes so many legal things. And to be honest with you, when you're out in a home with most of these people, they really don't want cameras pushed at them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to try to put together a show.
Right.
But they do want help. And a lot of them are fine with giving you kind of the basics on that and so forth. So, I haven't done it in many, many years, but I think residential is a key aspect in most paranormal investigations that you have to kind of get into somewhere along the line. You can travel around all over the place to investigate, but but eventually doing that, you find yourself kind of swaying towards those people in the home, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's been a big thing in my life. It's how I met my wife. My wife was having activities. She contacted us.
Well, that's a unique story that most people wouldn't say. Hey, look, I got married because I met my wife wanting me to do an investigation.
Right. And we had the funny thing is we had so many different connections that drew us together. To begin with, it was actually crazy because I was responding to an ad that her brother put in the paper for a dog, and I call up looking to be interested in getting this dog from somebody, and then somehow I start talking about the paranormal, and then a few days later we get a call from my wife saying that she's having some activity and needs some help. And so we investigate her house. When we show up at her house, I'd been there like 5 years previous to a yard sale that somebody was having. And we investigate her house, and then we have all these other connections that are just crazy that brought us together. It's really, really strange.
You know, that's the unique thing about the paranormal. That's something that I'm expressing and spent a lot of time thinking about when I put the documentary together is the culture. A lot of times people don't understand that you meet your wife there. Sometimes you meet your best friends there. I'm sure you've been to plenty of conventions as well as residentials and talked amongst the other investigators. It's a fascinating, fascinating thing that has impacted us for at least 75 or 80 years. Way before television came in, then television advanced that massively. But it amazes me how many people don't really know that culture.
Right. It's like taboo. Nobody wants to talk about it. Although, I mean, that's one thing that I can give the TV shows credit for is that they brought it into the spotlight and have made it easier to talk to people about. Because when I first started getting into this, I was embarrassed to mention it to anybody, you know, because they would look at you like you're crazy. And, you know, it's a little easier to talk to people about it and they're more open to it. And I think that is, you know, because of TV shows and different things like that.
Oh, yeah. It's opened up the culture incredibly from, like I said, 15, maybe 20 years ago. If you were to talk about a paranormal experience, people looked at you funny, or you got the term "go to God."
Right.
Now, people are open to talking about it, and I think that's very important. Of course, that happens with a lot of cultures. I don't know if you remember or not, but I'm a big geek, as silly as it seems. But the comic book culture and the science fiction culture is that way. When I was growing up as a kid, I absolutely loved comic books and science fiction. But then you get around that 15-year-old marker, and you think it's cool to go to a convention. But people would look at you like you were a geek or a dweeb or something, and, you know, I don't want to be around him. He plays Dungeons & Dragons and reads comic books.
Right.
But nowadays it's accepted as second nature. People go to Comic Cons every single year. I mean, I'm scheduled for three of them just for the radio show and the paranormal end. And I think paranormal is kind of getting that way too. People are getting a lot more comfortable with the fact that they can show up in public and talk to people and ask about experiences, and more of them are starting to understand it's okay to know both sides of it. Yes, it's here, but it's not all creepy. Yes, some of these things can be 100% explained where some other things can't. They really want to dig in, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree with you.
So let's get back into the medium a little bit. You use a psychic medium on your team. And I know we were talking briefly about investigators have mixed results on mediums. I personally have met a couple that are very amazing people. In fact, one's going to be on the show again here quite soon. I absolutely love her. She's a delightful person. And I've met some that were way off base. So it really depends, I guess, on who you run into and how they present themselves and whether they have the ability or not. But how did you find out about your psychic medium and how do you use it?
Well, she helps many different groups in our area. But when I first met her, I was a skeptic to the whole medium thing. I thought, you know, it was, you know, something, you know, that they're just trying to get money from you for you to tell them your future, you know. But we were doing an investigation up at, it's a place called the White Inn. It's up in New York. She's able to do remote readings, and we can talk to her like on a cell phone. And I don't know much about the mediumship and everything, but she completely convinced me at the point when we were doing this investigation, because she had no idea where we were at, and she was able to, whatever she does, you know, meditate, whatever, come into where we were at investigating. And she gave us information that we already knew that she had no idea. And, one of the examples is that she, the hotel was built by, a guy, his last name was Maloney. And he actually committed suicide on the property. And she was able to tell us that she was like, he hung himself in his master suite, whatever he built there. And she was able to tell us that, somebody hung themselves there. And, she said, I'm getting the name Malone. And Malone and Maloney are close enough to make me a believer. And at that point, that's when I trusted her, and you know, she's helped us out tremendously. We've had other investigations, we were doing a resident, and, they were seeing some shadows and different things going on. And, we were able to get a pretty cool EVP. I was in a room with another investigator in their master bedroom, and they were on the other side of the house trying to do a flashlight session. And I know flashlight sessions are kind of up in the air where people don't believe or whatever, but, they were on the other side of the house telling somebody to turn the light on while we were on the other side getting an EVP saying, turn the light off, turn the light off. It repeated itself over and over, two or three times. And that was a pretty powerful, EVP to get during an investigation. At the same investigation, after it was over, I was telling the homeowners, that, you know, our evidence, what we got. And, I said, would you like our psychic medium to, cross over the spirit that is here? And, they said, sure, you know, if it's going to help us out. Well, before the investigation, we were walking around the backyard, and our medium, felt something. She didn't know what it was. She was in the backyard and she didn't know what it was. But, when I talked to the homeowners, I said, you know, our psychic medium, Sue has crossed over the entity. And the strange thing was, she said a dog ran into the light, with this spirit. And they said, you're kidding me. The previous homeowner, buried their dog in the backyard, happened to be the exact same spot that our psychic medium was standing when she felt something.
Wow. That's pretty ironic. That's right on the nose. See, those are the rare situations that you have to respect people that have their gifts for. You know, I was a big disbeliever in psychic mediums, and some I still am, until I ran across a few that I met in person. But and I told this to the team that the other psychic medium is a part of, that Susan Carter, which is going to be on our show. I told this to her one time, and her colleague Peter. One of the first mediums that I ran across that impressed me, and I won't mention her name because I didn't ask permission, I had never met her before. And I was referring her to another team to go on a location. We sat down for about 3 minutes at Wendy's, and right before we sat down, she was very upfront with me. She told me, you know, you probably shouldn't eat that burger, and you should do something about that ulcer because it's been disturbing you for quite some time. Now, keep in mind, this is the first time I'd ever met her, and I haven't mentioned to anybody this situation. And she picked up on the fact that I had an ulcer that was bothering me for at least 6 months. So, I mean, they can impress you from time to time.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, she sold me, so she's definitely an asset to have around.
Definitely, from the sounds of it, she's probably helped you guys out quite a lot. Between, I'm assuming you probably have a breakdown on your team. You probably have a psychic medium. You have a technical person that does a lot of the technical stuff. And then, are you the lead investigator?
Yes.
So you have you, and then you said four others. You have you, your psychic medium, and then what are the other sole responsibility of the other two? Other than to investigate,
well,
obviously.
Well, believe it or not, one of them is my wife. I've converted her into an investigator, so, and she's kind of learning the ropes because she's scared, but she's doing very well, and it's good to have her on my team because she keeps me in line as well.
Well, that's
and
a good thing.
We have another guy that's actually, by trade, he's a graphics designer, so he helps us do our graphics design on stuff that we promote through social media and stuff, so that's an asset as well.
Yeah, that would be very useful, and as a graphics designer, he probably likes to look in a little bit more detail than the average person, too, because they tend to be a little bit more detailed, so I'm betting that when he analyzes your video and your work, he's probably pretty scrutinous from time to time.
Yeah, I lean on him a lot. He's very level-headed, and I trust his opinion very much.
Well, that's... good teams are hard to build. That's another thing I think people don't understand. I consistently tell this to people that are in the paranormal when they worry about losing team members or team members lacking and team members not. You know, I'm sure you'll agree when you were setting up your team, it takes a little while to get your nice solid core of four people that you can rely on.
Yeah. Well, it's the people you trust the most because, you know, if you're relying on somebody to go through a digital recorder or watch some video, you don't know if they're going to watch it or not, you know, or they just, you know, might miss something. So if you've got the best of the best doing it for you, it's really makes it much easier to do the best job that we can do. I mean, that's, like I said, that's all we want to do. We want to produce the best evidence and give our clients an answer to put their mind at ease.
Oh, and video is definitely a big part of that. It's you consistently have to have several people or at least one person that's dedicated to reviewing that. Then you've got the audio on top of that when you're getting into a personal investigation. And I know from strictly dealing with audio for a number of years, that's tedious on its own. Sometimes you can spend 8 hours, and by the eighth hour, you swear to God you hear something when you don't.
Right. Yes.
But it's definitely well worth it, and well worth the time and the effort when you find that one little piece that you can either explain, especially when you're residential. Hey, look, this is not a ghost, or maybe it is, but it's not harmful, or when you're in any location and you get that one little piece of evidence that makes it all worth it. You know, hey, look, I've got something here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you going to the next investigation. When you get that video clip or EVP or whatever you might get, it might be a session using a REM pod or an ovilus or some type of tool that we use, and it just all ties it together. You know, if the right word is said or the right EVP, it makes it all worth it. All those endless hours of video and audio listening to it.
And it is endless hours from time to time, up until 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. And then, you know, if you got a regular job, you got to go to that to boot. So you get 2 hours of sleep and start the process all over again.
Right. Since you're doing this all for free anyways, you know, I mean, there is some groups that do charge people, but we're one that, you know, if you need help, we're going to help you, and we don't charge anything.
So. I've never really been in much agreement with charging for a paranormal service to the public or residential. I understand when you're doing group affairs and when you're doing, public appearances and things along those lines, that's all a part of business. But
when you're dealing completely different, doing an event is completely different. I mean, that you might be able to make a few bucks, but you know, never much. So you know, it's all about helping the people. And plus, I mean, I'm doing this to document. What I want is I want to catch the best evidence to prove 100% that there is life after death, and we can, show it through evidence. And if you can back it up with some science in there, scientific evidence, along with the audio or visual evidence, that's what I'm shooting for. That's why I keep doing what I do, to prove it.
And, you know, listeners, that's actually one of the key points that I think a lot of people don't cover. You know, there's a lot of different reasons people get into the paranormal, but when you deal primarily with the investigators that have been here for a while, a lot of them should say, and most do say, the exact same thing. In the end, it's all about collecting that one piece of evidence or that data to try to prove that something is there. And that's the most important thing, I think, that gets forgotten from time to time. That's what we're all here for. That's why we should all work together.
Exactly. 100% agreed. That's the reason I like to talk to other groups and get their feedback and information. And sometimes we get some negativity and people talking about, you know, the different evidence that we do put out and different YouTube videos and different things like that. But, you know, if I was there and I was present for it and I know what happened, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm willing to take the negativity because I know what we caught was 100% real.
Well, that's always going to be a part of social media and any situation. And you take the positive with the negative, and you just have to kind of deal with that. Listeners, you've been listening to BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the largest radio stations for digital. Make sure that if you're looking to do a digital radio station or if you're looking to do a podcast, go with the best. Give a shot to BBS. Donald is one of the most wonderful people, and the station is really great. They'll take good care of you. Next week's show, we will be dealing with Alan Wright. Alan Wright is an author of The Paranormal and other books. He just brought out one of his other books. He's been on the show before, so I encourage you all to listen. Losing my voice here, I apologize. We've been talking with Bill Cook from PSPR Paranormal. There, I got it out right for you, Bill. I apologize. I kept saying Erie Paranormal throughout it.
That. It's okay. I didn't name, so I don't want to get confused.
Totally understandable. We do have links up for his Facebook page. We have links up for his website. And we also have a mention of his Twitter page. Make sure that you look him up and look up the team. Keep in contact with them. Keep an eye out for their new YouTube channel. It's been a real pleasure having you on here, Bill. You're always welcome. Feel free to contact me when you're doing anything and you want to promote it, and we'll get you back on here. I'm going to end the show the way I do every single show here with Paranormal Truth and Reality. Listeners, I'm sure you've listened to this before. As you're noticing, in the paranormal, truth should always be that one and only reality that you're running into. One of the things that we have a lot of questions about throughout the years is whether people are in the paranormal just to be on TV and social media, or if they're there to collect data. Now, obviously, you're going to have both of those in the paranormal, and both of those are okay as long as you understand what entertainment is. But ultimately, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, it's a wonderful community. And people like Bill and the others are just here because they want to prove something is there and share it together with the other teams. We will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the show. Have a good weekend.